The Bob Hope Show. Transcribed direct from Hollywood with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our singing star, Margaret Whiting. Our special guest, Virginia Mayo. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, my sponsor pays both your milkman and me. Your daily quart of health and your weekly barrel of fun. I know I'm a barrel of fun. You should have heard all the laughs I was getting the other night when I wore one home from Santa Anita. Oh, I...
But I've had most of this week off, so Goodwin and I went on a hunting trip in the mountains. We hunted deer. It was too cold to hunt bear. And we... That'll give you an idea how old my writers are. But it's cheaper when Social Security pays half their salary. But I went up to... I went up to Bill Goodwin's cabin in the High Sierras for a hunting trip. Hunting trip. That's where a bunch of fellows get up at the crack of dawn, hike around all day in the freezing cold, come back to the cabin half dead, and then sit around saying, man, this is the life. Really did go hunting. A lot of the Hollywood guys were there. Gordon McRae, Edgar Bergen. Jack Benny was along, but he quit hunting after the first day. The string broke in his bullet. And Frank Sinatra came, but it was sort of an accident. One of the fellas was in a hurry when he left. He grabbed for his rifle and got Frank instead. But Frank is a natural hunter. The rest of us have to take cover so the animals won't see us. Frank just stalks up to him sideways. Phil Harris was supposed to come, too, but he never came, too. Les Brown did his hunting with a double-barrel shotgun. Les has double vision. Most of the time. I enjoyed the trip, though. Ever since I was a kid, my family always got out in the open once a month. And it's even more fun when you don't have the furniture out there with you. But I enjoyed hunting. I followed a set of tracks through the snow for 3 hours, but they weren't what I thought. I wish men wouldn't wear those high-heel boots. And Goodwin showed me how to hold my gun with the barrel pointed down so if it went off accidentally, the bullet wouldn't hit another hunter, and it really worked. I now have four toes on one foot and two on the other. And there's a law in California. You have to report everything you shoot to the game warden. But I couldn't do it. He was what I shot. But I told Dolores, my wife, if I was successful, she could make something to wear out of the pelts I brought back. She's now the only wife in North Hollywood with a fur thimble. The snow was so deep we couldn't find our cars in the morning. The first mountain we shoveled our way to turned out to be a tool shed. The musicians got in it and fumbled around for a while, then the trumpet player turned to the other and said, man, I can't figure what's come over this crazy Pontiac.
Ladies and gentlemen, although Bob leads a hectic life with his many activities, this morning he found himself at home with absolutely nothing to do.
Gee, the house is so quiet. If I could only think of something to do with myself. I know, I'll read a book. Let's see, what's on the shelf here? Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Complete works of Aristotle, Einstein's theory of relativity, Gregorian chants, old and new. No, I guess not. I've read them all. Well, maybe there's something on the radio.
And now our news reporter takes you to Miami, Florida. An exclusive on-the-spot visit to the honeymoon cottage of heiress Barbara Hutton and her new husband. Here they are.
A dime for you, and a dime for me, a dime for you.
And they say he's not really a politician. Gee, it's nice and quiet here at home, but it's a little frightening. I haven't been this alone since I found out about Stoppette. Hey, who's that?
Come on in.
See, I'm kind of sorry to break in on you like this, Bob.
Oh, it's all right, Bill.
I know you don't get much chance to be alone.
Oh, it's all right, Bill.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have disturbed you.
Oh, it's all right, Bill.
Yeah, I better run along.
You sit down.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
I just said sit down, that's all.
Gee, I haven't seen you this jumpy since the day they plugged up the knot hole in Jane Russell's dressing room.
Will you please stop making things up, Bill? And besides, who wouldn't be jumpy with an eye full of plastic wood? For 3 days, I was a Zsa-Zsa of Paramount. Sit down, will you, Bill?
Well, I really can't stay, Bob. I'm going to the automobile show to see all the cars. You want to come along?
The auto show? No, I don't think so. I'll tell you what. Why don't we go see a movie, Bill? A really first-class musical with some talented acting.
Bob, I've seen Here Come the Girls a dozen times, and I don't want to see it again.
Watch it, Marbles. Are those teeth, or are you breaking in falsies for Liberace? Put your hat on and I'll call the theater for free passes. Hand me the phone. The line is busy. Gee, it's aggravating to have a party line. I'd complain, but Virginia's so nice.
Who?
Virginia Mayo. She's on the other end of the line.
Virginia Mayo?
Yeah, she's at the party.
Oh, boy, she's... Hey, wait a minute. The phone company doesn't tell you who the other party is. How do you know it's Virginia Mayo?
Oh, it's easy. She has the only voice that makes the receiver throw its arms around the mouthpiece.
Well, while you're phoning, Bob, I'll go get a drink of water.
Okay. I wonder who Virginia's talking to. I don't suppose it would be very ethical to pick up the receiver and listen.
I'm really kind of excited, Maggie.
Oh, you're going to love it, Virginia.
Gee, girl talk. Maybe I'll learn something that Dad left out.
Okay, I'll meet you at the auto show in, well, how about 20 minutes? By the way, Virginia, what are you going to be wearing?
My new outfit, the blue.
Well, then I'll wear my gray, so we don't clash.
Fine. Bye, Maggie.
Bye, Virginia.
Or, as we used to say in the sorority house, happy Delta Chi.
Yeah, don't let your beta know what your Sigma Nus are doing.
What time does the picture go on?
Oh, we're not going to the picture, Bill. We're going to the auto show.
The auto show? I thought you said there wasn't anything there worth looking at.
There will be.
But you were so eager to see Here Come the Girls. Why'd you change?
Who changed? They just went another way. I'll get dressed and we'll start. Say, what are you going to wear?
Wear? Well, what I've got on, my gray suit.
Oh, good. Then I'll wear my blue. We wouldn't want to clash.
Oh, heavens, no, Gertrude. Tell me, are you going to wear your hair in bangs or just let it hang down in ripples?
I think we just lost our membership at the Y. Come on. Watch your Sigma News.
Gee, Virginia, aren't the cars beautiful?
Oh, just lovely. Look at this convertible, Maggie. It has power steering, power brakes, electric windows, automatic shift. Gee, I wish I could buy it.
Well, why can't you?
It doesn't match my hat.
Say, Virginia, look who's coming. It's Bob Hope and Bill Goodwin. Hi, fellas.
Hi, girl.
Oh, hiya, Maggie.
Hi, Bob. Fancy meeting you here.
Hello, Virginia. Well, what a surprise this is.
How do you like the auto show, Virginia? Aren't these cars the greatest?
Oh, they're gorgeous. I was just telling Margaret I'd buy one if I could find the exact shade to match my hat.
What are you doing these days, Virginia?
Well, I'm making an historical picture, Bob. I play the cousin of King Arthur.
Which King Arthur? The one with the round table or the one that plays the ukulele and works for CBS?
It's a story about the court of King Arthur, and I play a nice girl this time.
This time?
Yes, in my last picture, I played a girl who engineered a jailbreak.
No kidding. I remember our family saw it 10 times trying to pick up hints for Aunt Gladys.
Come on, Virginia. Let's look at the rest of the car.
All right, Maggie. See you later, Bob.
Say, before you leave, Virginia, how about coming on my radio show tonight?
I'm really very busy. Why don't you get one of the other girls?
But I wish you'd appear on my show, Virginia. You know, we always present our guest stars with a very nice gift.
Oh, a very nice gift? Well, now the conversation is becoming more interesting.
It is?
Yeah. Let's stroll over to the Cadillac section and talk it over.
The Cadillac section? Honey, it's only a nationwide program. It doesn't go around the world. Let's stroll right on through to the hubcap section.
Well, I'll appear on your show, and you can work out the details with my agent. So long, Bob.
Goodbye, Virginia. And gee, I'm certainly glad I ran into you like this. It's lucky we both happened to come to the auto show at the same time. What a wonderful surprise.
Well, thank you, Bob, but I don't think you'll be getting any more wonderful surprises like this.
No? Why not?
I'm having my phone changed to a private line. Bye, Bob.
And here is the Capitol doll, Margaret Whiting, assisted by Les Brown and his band, doing Rags to Riches.
Now I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pockets may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered, but in my heart I'd be a king. Your love is all that ever matters. It's everything. Open your arms and you'll open the door. Must I forever stay a beggar? Golden dream will not come true. Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you. Must I forever be a beggar? Golden dream will not come true. Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, someone once said humor is the true democracy. That's why we in America can smile when we tell the stories, the legendary heroes who helped build our country's great industries and institutions like oil. According to folks around Oklahoma, it was an Oklahoman who first discovered oil, Kemp Morgan. This Morgan character didn't need anything like divining rods to show him where the oil was. He just followed his nose. He'd walk across the field with his nose to the ground and sniff. When he caught the right smell, that's where oil was. First, he'd dig a hole as far down as he could reach. Then he took a sharpshooter and shot the hole deeper. Before the oil reached the surface, Morgan had his derrick up and his tanks built to hold the oil. Only once did he bring in a dry well, but he didn't lose money on it. Not Kemp Morgan. He saw the empty well into lengths and sold them to Kansas farmers for post holes. Ridiculous? Maybe the stories they tell about Kemp Morgan are ridiculous, and maybe they're not. Any way you look at it, Kemp Morgan will always be around to tell us about our country's wealth in oil. Yes, it is a democracy which lets us tell stories of our industries, institutions, and legendary heroes with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. And as long as we continue to laugh together as a people, we will live together as a nation. Thank you very much.
Tonight, folks, we're going to pay tribute to a business in which America is the acknowledged world leader, the auto industry. We're going to tell you the story of the invention of the automobile.
I thought the automobile was a lot of inventions put together, Bob.
Well, it is, Virginia, but someone had to do it. And to have a good assembly job, you've got to have the right parts in exactly the right places. But I don't have to tell you that, do I?
Oh, what big eyes you have, Grandma.
Grandma? These aren't wrinkles. It's just that I have a roll top Ford. But a lot of people contributed to the development of the motor car, Virginia. For instance, we wouldn't have Nash automobiles if it weren't for Nathaniel Feathertick.
What did he do?
He invented the bed. Well, now let's start our sketch, which goes back to the days of the first motor car.
Gee, we'd be lost without cars now, wouldn't we?
We sure would, Virginia. Everybody except Sabu.
I thought Sabu just rode his elephant in pictures.
That's right. Although I understand Alcoholics Anonymous pays him a small fee to ride past Phil Harris's house once a week. Now, Goodwin, take it away. The invention of the automobile.
Okay, Bob. It is the year 1890. In a tiny workshop in the outskirts of Detroit, a young mechanic struggles with a great dream.
It's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go.
Well, it went. Hello, Virginia.
Please, Henry, all Detroit is laughing at you. Give up this crazy idea of a horseless carriage for my sake.
Oh, I can't, honey. I've got to go on. You'll see. I'm going to invent an automobile and a tractor and a threshing machine and an airplane.
Oh, Henry. Oh, Henry.
When I get a hold of some chocolate nuts, I'll invent that, too.
The other girls feel sorry for me, Henry. They say that you're just a stick in the mud.
A what?
A stick in the mud. You're slower than molasses in January. And they say, in case of fire, you'll be the first to holler because you've got a head like a match and a celluloid collar.
I bet Milton Berle can't wait to get his hands on that one.
Silly motor buggy. Don't you ever think about me?
Of course I do, honey. Why, just last night I dreamed about you.
You did? Oh, what did you dream?
Well, I don't know whether...
Oh, come on.
Well, I dreamt that you put your arms around me.
Yes?
You put your soft cheek against mine and pressed me very close.
Yes?
Then you whispered in my ear, if you put the carburetor on the left side, it'll increase the gas vaporization.
Oh! That settles it, Henry. We can't go on like this.
What do you mean?
Henry, we love each other, don't we?
Yeah, I guess so. I'd hate to think all these goose pimples were just a rash.
Oh, Henry, let's get married. Come on over to my house and we'll ask Daddy right now.
Me marry you? But you're only a girl.
Well, what else would you marry?
Why, oh, that's right.
So... you're the boy wonder of Detroit, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you want to see me about?
Your daughter.
My daughter?
Yeah. Now I'm beginning to wonder about girls, too.
Go on, Henry. Ask him.
Oh, Mr. Horschmeyer, I'd like to marry you. Don't make it up. It happens to be his name. Mr. Horschmeyer, I'd like to marry your daughter.
Henry's going to be a famous man someday, Father. He's very ambitious.
Yeah, I've just got to invent the automobile.
You've got to invent the automobile? Why?
Well, I found a pair of goggles and I don't own a sun lamp.
Well, what about it, Father? Do you give your consent for Henry and me to get married?
I do not. I'm a buggy manufacturer. If this fool can fat can hit the tree...
You read that line. I'm a buggy manufacturer. No, that's all right.
I do not. I'm a buggy manufacturer. Yeah. If this fool contraption of his succeeds, it'll put me right out of business.
No, it won't. There'll always be Republicans.
Please, Father, listen to reason.
No, no whippersnapper is going to tear down what I worked so hard to build up. If I do say it myself, I'm the biggest buggy manufacturer in the city.
Oh, you certainly are, sir. Why, whenever I see a horse, I think of you.
Hey, if I recollect, You used to work in my factory.
Yes, sir. I was the chief coordinator in the Department of Exterior Embellishment.
What does that mean?
I tied the tassels on the buggy whips. I had to quit. The job was too much for me.
It was too much for you?
Yeah, I'm ticklish.
Please, Father, say you'll let me marry Henry. He's going to be a great inventor.
Ah, he's just a tinker with his head full of pipe rings. Oh, sir, you're going to marry the vice president of my company, Algernon Goodwood.
That drip?
Well, this fellow's washer ain't none too tight, you know.
Pardon me, I didn't know I was dribbling.
I got Algernon waiting in the other room. Hey, Algernon, come on in here.
Coming, future daddy-in-law.
Good evening, Mr. Horsmeyer. I say, what is the unusual odor in here?
Oh, hello, Henry.
Nice performance, Bill. The Academy Award will be waiting in the unemployment office.
Now, young fella, you can go.
Henry, you can't let Father do this to us. Stand up to him.
Okay, honey. Mr. Horsmeyer, I'll show you that my automobile isn't just a pipe dream. I'll give a public demonstration on Main Street tomorrow morning, and right after that, I'm going to marry your daughter.
You seem to think an awful lot of that silly contraption.
Of course I do. I'm in love with her.
Well, Henry, you said you were going to make that thingamajig work. Get to it.
Okay, Mr. Horsmeyer. Hop in, Virginia. I'll start her up.
Hold your horses, folks. Hold your horses! Hold your horses!
Somebody hold him. I'll crank it up. You hold the spark lever down, Virginia. Man, just listen to that cat purr.
Oh, Henry, if it actually runs, I'll be the happiest girl in Detroit.
Hang on, Virginia. Here we go.
We're moving!
Yeah, but the steering gear doesn't work. I'll try to go through that alley between those two buildings.
Oh, but Henry, it isn't wide enough. It's too narrow. We'll never squeeze through.
I'll squeeze through. Don't worry about it.
Oh, Henry. Your poor automobile.
Poor automobile, nothing. We're rich.
Rich?
Sure, we just invented the Greyhound bus.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.